Bulletin. Barking watchdog sanctions West Park over sudden branch closure in remote, predominantly First Nations community. Inflation figures on the rise, with the consumer rate sitting at 4% for the 12 months to May. And WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange set to return to Australia later today after pleading guilty in US court for espionage charges. A banking watchdog has found Westpac exposed its customers to a high risk of harm when it suddenly closed an Outback branch in Tennant Creek in the Northern Territory. The bank closed the branch in September 2022, at first telling the community the closure was temporary before hundreds of people were left to rely on a local charity to access cash. The disadvantaged town, about a 10-hour drive south of Darwin, is a key service hub for more than 6,000 people in the remote Barkly region. Many residents in the area are Indigenous people who speak limited English and don't have bank cards, mobile phones or internet connection. The Banking Court Compliance Committee released its investigation yesterday, sanctioning Westpac for serious and systemic breaches of its obligations under the Banking Code of Practice. The investigation found Westpac did not comply with the Australian Banking Association's branch closure protocol by failing to provide customers with adequate information about the shutdown. It also failed to properly support Tennant Creek residents in accessing other services. Victoria's truth-telling inquiry has questioned the state's housing minister over lack of progress in improving outcomes for Aboriginal Victorians. The inquiry heard that 17% of Aboriginal Victorians are seeking homelessness assistance, and the number is increasing by 10% every year. According to census data, Indigenous Australians make up approximately 3% of the population, but account for 1 in every 5 people experiencing homelessness countrywide. Harriet Shin, the state minister for housing, spoke at the Yurok Justice Commission and apologised for the seizure of land and ongoing disadvantage suffered by Aboriginal Victorians.
We created Aboriginal homelessness and then we turned away from it. And for too long we refused to even acknowledge that its existence and impact was our doing. And for this, I'm sorry. The First Nations communities, families and people who ache for homes they have lost or have had taken, who long for homes they have never had, or who live in substandard homes when they are available, I apologise.
In the meantime, a couple of independent MPs are calling for housing to be set as a basic human right in Australia. The MPs say the government needs to repair the broken housing system in the country, with thousands of people affected by homelessness. Meanwhile, skyrocketing rents have placed two of Australia's major cities among the unfavourable list of the least affordable places to live around the world. Independent Senator David Pocock, one of the two MPs calling for the changes to be made, has told Channel 7 affordable housing should be a given right for all Australians.
It's one of the biggest challenges we face. We're in a housing crisis across the country, and we've never actually had a legislated plan. This would legislate a plan, it would legislate objectives like making housing affordable, ending homelessness, treating housing more like the human right it should be, something that's affordable to everyone in our communities, rather than something that's becoming increasingly unaffordable. And we're seeing this intergenerational inequality and growing divide.
Inflation has risen by more than expected. The latest monthly consumer price index has inflation at 4% over the 12 months to the end of May. Through to the end of April, it was 3.6%. The May figure was expected to be only 3.8%. Spending on housing, food, non-alcoholic beverages, transport and tobacco were the biggest contributors to this figure. Whilst the monthly consumer price index is not considered as authoritative a measure of inflation, as the quarterly update, it does put the spotlight back on inflation, which is the key measure the Reserve Bank looks at when deciding on interest rates. The official interest rate is at 4.35%, where it has been since November. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange has pleaded guilty to a single criminal court count of conspiring to obtain and disclose classified U.S. national defense documents. Based on the agreement made with the U.S. court, Mr. Assange was sentenced to 62 months of jail time, which he has already served during his incarceration in the U.K. He's expected to arrive in Canberra at 6:45 p.m. tonight. The WikiLeaks founder arrived at the Saipan District Court alongside Australia's ambassador to the United States and former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd. Mr. Assange's father, John Shipton, says it feels surreal to be welcoming his son home after all this time.
It seems as though the detail as it expands is less interesting than the fact that I've got to go to the airport and greet Julian on Australian soil. As the detail unfolds, you know, there's some trepidation because the United States, this may be unwise, but to say, but the United States seems very hard to trust.
Julian Assange's wife, Stella Assange, has set up a crowdfunding campaign to cover the cost of Julian Assange's charter flights. Mr. Assange will owe $780,000 to the Australian government for charter flight VJ199, as he was not permitted to fly on a commercial airline to Saipan for his court appearance. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese says his government is proud to welcome newly elected Solomon Islands Prime Minister Jeremiah Manele on his first trip since he took up the role. The two men have held a joint press conference shortly before their meeting, where they are set to discuss several key issues, including security partnership, economic development and infrastructure. The decision of former Solomon Islands Prime Minister Manasseh Sovaghare to sign a security pact with China caused tensions in the Pacific. Mr. Albanese says the federal government considers the neighbouring nation as one of its most important allies.
Australia is Solomon Islands' partner of choice, and we do not take this for granted. Today we discuss how we can keep working together to further strengthen our bilateral relationship, and I thank you for the invitation for me to visit the Solomon Islands. We are clear and open with one another, and this is the key to our enduring partnership.
The Liberal Party says the actions of Labor backbencher Fatima Payman show the Prime Minister's leadership is failing. Fatima Payman crossed the floor last night to vote in favour of a Greens motion to recognise the State of Palestine. Under Labour rules, members can face expulsion if they cross the floor, although the party says Ms. Payman is safe within the party. Deputy Liberal leader Susan Lee says the Labour Party needs to be unified in its response to the Israel-Hamas war.
Big test for the Prime Minister's leadership last night when we had Labour senators on both sides of a debate on the floor of the Senate. What weak leadership. It is so weak. And since October the 7th, that's what we've seen from this Prime Minister on this important issue.
The United Nations have called for Israel to take further action for the protection of human aid group workers in Gaza, describing the situation as intolerable. Several aid workers, including Australian World Central Kitchen workers Zomi Frankom, have fallen victim to crossing fire between Israel and Hamas in recent months. The Israeli military announced recently they would be making tactical pauses to their operations in Gaza for 11 hours every day to facilitate the entry of humanitarian aid. But no aid group has made use of the pathway opened up by the Israeli military out of fear of being impeded by hunger-ravaged citizens. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres says the lawlessness that has taken root in Gaza is impeding the work of the aid groups.
Most of the trucks with humanitarian aid inside Gaza are now looted, because this is a war that is different from any other one. Usually in a war, there is one force that attacks, they occupy parts of the territory of the other force, and then they guarantee security and management of the areas they occupy.
Back home, Australians are concerned social media platform giants are failing to stop scams and even encouraging the online phenomena. The Australian Banking Association released a research today revealing 39% of Australians believe Meta, the owner of Facebook, Instagram and WhatsApp, is not trying to stop scams on its platforms. It also found 1 in 5 think the mega social platform is encouraging scams. Google fared better among public opinion, with 8% of people surveyed thinking it encouraged scams, while 37% believe the platform is failing to do anything to stop them. Confidence in banks, telcos, payment companies like MasterCard and the government was also assessed in the poll. And to sport, in rugby league, the Queensland Maroons will be hoping to end this year's State of Origin series when they take on the New South Wales Blues later tonight at the Melbourne Cricket Ground. Maroons coach Billy Slater has said his team's fullback, Reece Walsh, is fully fit and will be starting the game despite taking a knock in the series opener in Sydney. The 21-year-old has not taken part in any games since he picked up a knock in the clash against the Blues, but has been very energetic in training. Slater has rejected claims that the New South Wales team will choose to focus on the younger player, saying the emphasis is placed on the entire team. The Maroons won the first game, which was played on June 5, by 38-10. And now having a look at the weather around the country: Perth, showers 19, Adelaide, showers 15, Melbourne, showers 2 and 14 degrees, Hobart, cloudy day 13, Canberra, partly cloudy 14, Wollongong, sunny 19, Sydney, also sunny 21, Newcastle, much the same, 21, Brisbane, mostly sunny 24, Cairns, showers 2, 28, Darwin, sunny 31. And that is NITV Radio News.